This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSIN Action Update. Now, here are the latest signs from my guys in the desert. The
American League MVP race could come down once again to the Angels' Mike Trout. He's hitting 381 with four home runs and eight RBI at a 1.2 WAR that is wins above replacement. But Shohei Ohtani is certainly making a case for MVP, hitting 344 home runs, 12 RBI, a 0.7 wins above replacement. On a numbers game with Gil Alexander, Point Spread Weekly contributor Jason Weingarten makes the case for Ohtani.
Well, where do I stand? I stand with Ohtani because that's where my money is. Do I think Ohtani can beat Trout? Yes. I'm just concerned because historically, you know, Trout finished second in the MVP as a rookie, and ever since then, he's finished first or second in the AL MVP race every year except twice when he finished fourth and fifth. So it's not unlikely that Trout's going to be at the top all season. He's also playing great already. He's just not Ohtani. That's the thing. To me, Trout hits home runs. He's the best player in baseball, but he, you know, Ohtani's only been playing, it's been 10, 11 games, I think, for the Angels. Ohtani has the hardest hit ball, the hardest hit home run, the fastest pitch thrown, the fastest sprint speed to first base. You know, you can't really sit here and tell me that the difference between this year's Angels team and previous year's Angels team is Mike Trout. The difference is Ohtani. Ohtani is going to help this team get to the playoffs. He's going to help them win a playoff game that they haven't done that in, you know, 12 seasons with Mike Trout. If he does those things, he should be the MVP. You know, and I totally get it. Trout's probably going to hit 40 home runs. He's going to continue to be the best player in baseball. But, you know, if Ohtani continues to pitch and continues to do what he's doing, you're going to have a hard time convincing me that that's not an MVP performance. I don't know if other people will see it that way, but just me personally, I think you're seeing an MVP caliber season out of Ohtani.
Point Spread Weekly contributor Jason Weingarten on a numbers game with Gil Alexander making the case for Shohei Ohtani as American League Most Valuable Player. A numbers game with Gil Alexander heard weekdays from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern on VSIN. Coming up July the 10th in Las Vegas, UFC 264 featuring the third fight between Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. The fight opened as a pick'em at the Westgate Superbook. On My Guys of the Desert with Jonathan Montobel, Vinny Maiulo discuss the third fight in the Conor McGregor-Dustin Poirier trilogy.
By then we will be at 100% capacity, so T-Mobile will be able to be sold out for this event. And when it comes to UFC cards and betting on those cards, which has become even more popular in the last year, because UFC was one of the early events to come back, early sports to come back during the pandemic, and gained a whole new set of fans and betting support. Whenever Conor McGregor is part of a card, you can rest assured that the betting handle will be at least 25% higher or more. And in this particular one, I think it'll be even higher considering his opponent, because this is the third time.
The spring sports schedule is heating up, and we're analyzing baseball, hoops, hockey, soccer, tennis, and horse racing each and every day. And our NFL experts are preparing for the 2021 NFL draft with insights on trades and evaluating top picks and looking at prop betting opportunities. Now's the time to get Point Spread Weekly, our daily best bet subscriber-only email, and the latest odds and data at VSIN.com. Start your free trial today at VSIN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
If you thought there was a sports betting offseason, think again. The winning side pays the same for a baseball game or a football championship, and our team grinds year-round to help improve your betting IQ on every sport. We have experts in baseball, hockey, golf, basketball, NASCAR, and horse racing to provide you the best betting insights and analysis. Start your free trial today and put our experts to work for you at vsin.com/subscribe.
every day brings another opportunity to improve your sports betting knowledge, and the VSiN experts are working around the clock to give you the betting edge. Subscribe today to gain access to the full betting experience of our team of professional bettors, expert guests, and sportsbook insiders. Get the data and analysis you need to improve your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial today at vsin.com/subscribe and take your sports betting game to the next level.
All right, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you in. Hope you're having a nice Friday. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi hanging out in Jersey. I just took a little walk because we had a little break. I guess everybody's tripping out here because there's going to be a Starbucks in the building, my man. Are you a Starbucks guy?
I'm not a coffee snob at all. I'll drink anything. Wawa, Dunkin', Starbucks, you know, Pete's.
But you didn't love the Borgata's coffee, right?
I mean, no, that was, I don't know where they got that, but they had a great Italian coffee shop below the store. The ones Thomas was sending us out there, the ones below, they have a market right next to the
nice.
The sports book. It was incredible. They have like a little Italian, they have an Italian deli, and then they also have a coffee shop down there. It was really good.
And there's the drug picture. That's the picture of the drug waiting. They're building it up here at the South Point. Stop by.
There was always a line. There's always a line to get in. Of course, COVID, there's always line because people have to stay 6 feet apart. But, you know.
The line extends.
It can make a line better, yeah.
We're efforting for JVT as we do. I did want to bring up. Hey, look, it's a pretty big matchup tonight with the Clippers and 76ers. Let's be fair. Number open, and just so you know, your boys are getting bet open 2.5. They've been bet up to 3, so the 76ers are laying it. The big question tonight for the Clippers is going to be, is Kawhi going to play?
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing. I think there's all indications that he should play, right? He hasn't missed a beat, and they've won 7 out of 7 straight in 13 of their last 15 games, you know. They're 4-2 without him in the lineup, and when Paul George plays, they're 3-3 against the spread. So, you know, look, the Clippers are 26-9 in games in those situations, and they look, when they can stay healthy, and if they get Beverly and Serge back, they'll be really good. You know, against Philly, the Clippers are 2-5 straight up in the last 7, and have gone 1-9 ATS in the last 10 meetings.
Yeah, you mentioned that the Clippers, I mean, they haven't played without Kawhi the past 3 games, but they haven't missed a beat. Great job by you. Leonard could return tonight. They're 4-2 without
him. What's the over?
220?
You know, that's an interesting – I think that's a little low. I mean,
we're gonna go over that
matchup. I had the previous matchup, there was 234 points, and Embiid didn't play in that game. You know, and the Clippers shot 51% from the field in that game, and the Sixers were at 49. So I'm leaning over. I can't wait to hear what JVT thinks.
And the total,
in all this.
By the way, the total's gone over, as you see there, 5 of LA's last 7 against Eastern Conference teams. The Clippers have been awesome. They're 11-4 ATS their last 15. And we have to give credit. Paul, I'm not a big Paul George.
Me either. I was going to say that too.
But he has been playing well.
I've been the first to say that, look, he's finally showed up to the level that I didn't think he was worth it. And I think there's no doubt that he's played much better in the last, I would say, 2 months that I've watched him. The visual, I don't know what JVT's numbers are going to say, you know, pace and this and that, but just watching him, he looks like a better player.
Well, he's scored at least 32 in 4 straight. The last 2, he's assisted over 8.5 dimes. So he's playing well. Listen, we don't worry about Paul George regular season. We need something from him. He calls himself Playoff Pete. He ain't that. We need something from him. As we get JVT, let me just rewind to last night. You saw what happened last night in the NBA, Michael. The favorites went 4-0 straight up, 3-1 ATS. And we'll start with the Bucks in Atlanta. A 120-109 winner easily covered that 4.5. So I was way off. Thinking Atlanta, but again, who's playing, who's not playing, always a big question. But the Bucks not only win, they do cover last night in Atlanta.
Yeah, and look, you know, the Bucks, they seem like there's moments where you have to pick your spots with the Bucks. But the game that jumped out to me,
please,
Patrick, last night was the Celtics. The Celtics are a different team now. They're on a. They're,
I mean, they've won five straight. I mean, they've been playing great ball. And Jaylen Brown went off last night, but you saw Tatum's been awesome as of late, Michael.
They have been incredible of late. I mean, and that's what I can't wait to ask JVT about. I mean, they have changed. You know, there was a period where they were thinking they may not even make it, and now they look like a completely different team, and I want to know why that is. You know, and Tatum's playing better, and Jaylen Brown's playing better. But they're different. Now, they don't have a center. They don't have an inside presence. But still, you know, and to score 121, the Lakers play good defense.
They play great defense.
That game went over.
Yeah, no, they did. Pardon me. You just nailed it. The Lakers do, especially in the half court, Lakers play great defense. And I was watching this game. So you see they do cover the 7.5 by one. It's a 121-113 win, Michael. Boston led 113-86 with 7 minutes to play. So they held, and I'm telling you, Los Angeles, I give Vogel a lot of credit. I don't know how much you put into, because obviously LeBron and AD, that's the story there. But Vogel does a good job with this team. They don't quit on him, and they didn't quit last night because the Celtics were running away with this game.
They play hard. I mean, look, you know, he understands that this isn't going to be what it's about in another month. I mean, they're talking about Anthony Davis, what, 2 or 3 weeks away? I mean, hasn't he been cleared to practice? I just read that somewhere.
He did.
This
he
morning.
Got cleared today. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, eventually we're going to see him come back in the lineup, which will make a huge difference.
Now, and Jaylen Brown, who I consider their two studs to be a little overrated as far as Brown and Tatum. Very good, tremendous young players. But Brown had 40 points, and he scored four of his 40 in the final minute. He started off the game 13 of 14 and hit three-pointers. I mean, he was unbelievable. And Tatum, of course, continues to roll. You're right. That Celtics team who, to be fair, because we've killed them all year, middling. They were basic for most of the year. They're starting to come on now.
And they scored in every quarter against the Lakers. They scored 30 points in the quarter, 30 or above, which I think is pretty consistent, pretty good. And Brown played unbelievable. And, you know, look, I don't know who's going to be able to play center for them. You know, Tristan Thompson's not going to match up to Embiid. That's going to be a tough matchup. But, look, for what they're doing right now, you know, they played really well. And they shot 43% from the three-point line in the game. No wonder why you win.
Yeah.
43.8%. That's why you're going to win games.
And the Warriors pulled away in Cleveland, a 119-101 win. That was a little bit closer that fourth quarter, though. The Warriors dominated. Okay, there he is. My man, JVT, me JVT on Twitter. He's done a great job. My guys in the desert, you can hear him tonight. Hardwood Handicappers, a new edition. The podcast dropped yesterday. But the big news here is on My Guys in the Desert. A little birdie told me, not only does JVT not think Mac Jones isn't going three overall, he guaranteed it on his program yesterday. And we say hi, JVT.
Wow, JVT.
Hi, JVT. What's going on, man?
Nothing much, guys. Yeah, you know, Lombardi and I actually, what was it, like 2 weeks ago, Michael? Yeah, I was filling in for Patrick. We had a very enthusiastic discussion about this very topic. So I bet Justin Fields a couple of days ago, Patrick, a +180 to go number three overall.
Nice.
Just when I read people that are smarter than me, and this, you know, this is where it all comes from. A consistent theme has just been Mac Jones is more of like a middle tier first round guy. And I get it. We all have our interests and our likes, but I think all of this came from, in terms of the steam behind Mac Jones, outside of, you know, Michael's reputable reporting that we always have on our network, was from that first pro day where Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch decide to go to the first pro day instead of Justin Fields. We ignore the fact that they did the same thing with Nick Bosa. We ignore the fact that Justin Fields again had another pro day, and multiple other reports coming out of the Bay Area that a lot of people tied to the franchise thought that Justin Fields would eventually be the guy. So for me, it was a lot in terms of value. Didn't think -200, -300, where he was as high as bet GM Mac Jones to go number three overall, just didn't make much sense. And a lot of my thinking actually comes from all of my conversations that I've had with Michael Lombardi about draft stock and value and things of that nature. Shipping away two first round picks to go and get a guy that potentially could have been available in the middle of the first round, it just, none of it really made sense to me. And so that's why I was really hard on, hey, I think it's Justin Fields, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and the odds have shifted now in that direction.
Well, I would say this. I would say that a lot of people would disagree with your commentary that that Mac Jones is going to go in the middle of the first round. I think that's part of the assumption that a lot of people are making, that this kid was a middle-level player. You know, I don't know where you are on Tua Tagovailoa, but everybody at Alabama says the kid's better than him. His numbers were unbelievable. He's had better workout numbers than a lot of quarterbacks that I've gotten picked in front of him. He's getting dinged because I don't know why. I don't know why. There's a lot of teams. I know one team that would trade up to get Mac Jones. They wouldn't trade up to get Justin Fields. You know, and so, I mean, I don't know where that is. He could have been a middle-level pick. I don't understand where that came from. I really don't. You know, the one thing I know about the draft is there's no really rising and falling inside the offices. It's only media right. rising and falling, you know, because it's really not. You know, it's like, oh, finally, if the media's caught up, that guy's a really good player. So, look, I was told yesterday, JVT, there, by somebody in the league who knows Kyle really well, there's no way Kyle Shanahan would ever be able to coach Justin Fields for a while. That's just that's hearsay. That's not I'm not reporting. I'm just saying I just don't see it. I don't see that Kyle Shanahan wants to have a Cam Newton-like quarterback. I just don't.
May I just say I this? Don't. There is a lesson in here for our network and the viewers, and what JVT's bet is the lesson. It's not whether or not, you know, Fields goes three, although JVT would prefer he does, but getting him at plus 180 when today he's now sitting minus 140, therein lies the lesson, and that's why you're holding a good ticket. Also, I haven't talked to you since your Matsuyama win. Congratulations, my man. That was huge.
That was a great one.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And, Michael, I know I'm the NBA guy, but really quickly, since we're talking about this, Michael, I think
you're an all guy. I mean, you don't have to define yourself. I mean, look, I talk baseball, you know, and I don't even know if they have laces on the ball, so that's fine. Right.
Well, I think, though, like you bring up a good point, which is one of my favorite points, and it's actually something I've gotten from you in our conversations in the years in the past. This notion of smoke screens, this notions of rising and falling, like that to me is something that we as, I guess, the mainstream media, we kind of make up, right? Like teams have their boards and guys who they're looking at for the last year. Like they know their general opinions on these guys. And where my basis comes from in terms of my analysis is, going into this last football season, there were actually conversations that some, and this is just, again, reading media reports before the season started, that some actually thought Justin Fields could be better than Trevor Lawrence. And yet now after this season, all of a sudden, and it actually reminds me of last year, right? Last year, Justin Herbert was, by all accounts, below Tua Tagovailoa in terms of the analysis of who is the better quarterback going into the NFL draft. But then a week before the draft, we get a report that the Dolphins are in. And I'm like, well, that just doesn't make sense. Like, every single thing we have heard up until this point has been that Tua's got a slight edge over Justin Herbert in terms of how NFL evaluators see him. And then sure enough, what happens? He gets drafted before Justin Herbert. So to me, like, everything, and don't get me started, like, the Zach Wilson thing doesn't really make much sense to me either, but that seems to be kind of cemented in stone. To me, it's just, for over kind of a year, we've had this conversation about Justin Fields, solid number two. Zach Wilson's, you know, pushes past him over this last year. I guess I can kind of get that. But I just, to me, every single piece of information that I have read over the last year has told me that Fields is the second or third quarterback in this draft. And then all of a sudden there was this push because of that narrative around the pro day, and it didn't make sense to me. So I thought there was value in that number. I was being a little facetious, locking it in. There's no such thing as a lock. But Patrick's point is my overall point. If you're telling me that there was like a 77% chance, which is some of those implied probability numbers around Mac Jones early on, to me that didn't make sense. And that's where the bet came from.
Well, I would say this, evaluate the evaluator. Because have you ever gone back and looked at Mel Kiper's first mock? Have you ever looked at his first mock? Have you ever looked at mock 101 and then look at the final mock and see the difference in that? Have you ever gone through that? Do you ever looked at Mike Mayock's top 100 players and then his final top 100 players? The narrative is all done by evaluate the evaluator. Mm-hmm. Evaluate who's telling you the information. You know, Mel says this guy's could be as good as Trevor Lawrence. You can believe Mel. I'll choose not to. You know, I'll do my own evaluation. I don't need Mel to tell me who's a good player. And so that's not a knock on Mel. That's what I've done for a living for 35 years. I never bought the Tua was a great player. I kept saying to people, like, tell me what makes him great. Tell me what elite quality he has. No one can ever still answer the question about whether Tua has anything elite in his game other than he has it. He has it. Yeah. I don't know what it is. You know, I don't know if that's if we have to get an ointment on to take it out, or if we get it, or if a prescription's required to get it. I don't know what it is, but he has it. And yet I've never seen it in a game. It's like Kyler Murray. Let's talk Kyler Murray, right? Let's talk him as being the greatest. You know, he's an MVP candidate, JVT, at 18-1. 18-1. The guy's 3-6 over his last 9 games. He averaged under 7 yards in the last 9 games of the season, right? He barely threw over and on third down, on third, the most critical down in those 9 games, he averaged 54% completion, averaged under 6 yards per completion. Now, tell me how that's going to come into MVP number. It's all perception, and this is what's driving the Fields thing. It's all perception. Somebody says Kyler Murray's great. Somebody said Mitchell Trubisky was great. You know, you and I used to do a show together. John Murray, did anybody cry more tears than John Murray about liability on Mitchell Trubisky? Remember that? I mean, it was streaming down his face. It was like he was watching a Hallmark movie. Oh, I can't believe it. So my point is, evaluate the evaluator, and that's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And I have my own personal biases, right? Like, I've told you when we were together the other day, I think that Justin Fields is a better quarterback than Jones from what I have seen. But I will say, I think I am safe in saying that he is not Justin Fields falling to number 24 to the Pittsburgh Steelers, which I have seen over the last few days. So I feel very confident in that prediction.
Can you?
I don't disagree with that. I said this, and what I've said is, listen to the Casserly. Casserly is not going to put Justin Fields. He doesn't have an agenda. He collects data. He collects data, and that data that he collects, he gives out to people. He doesn't tell you where he gets it from. So there's a reason why he's got him 24. There's a reason why he's there. Now, I don't think it's 24. I think it's going to be 12, 13, or 14. I do think that.
Hey, JVT, do you mind sticking around for the next short segment, and we'll get a couple of picks from the NBA?
Yeah, I'm sorry,
Michael
JVT,
Lombardi, to answer your question, I don't know what it is, but when I got it in college, I had to go to the clinic. So
yeah, there you go. It's
dangerous.
Well, Tua has it. That's all I know. He can't run fast. He doesn't have a strong arm, and he's not elusive, and he's little, but he has it. So
An antibiotic takes care of it, but trust me, it's uncomfortable for a little bit. When we come back, JVT's going to stick. And JVT talking about Lawrence and Fields, by the way, those two go back to high school in, Georgia. So they've been tied at the hip for a long time, Lawrence and Fields, who could go 1-3. JVT hopes they go 1-3. We come back, some association picks from the guy here, Lombardi Line. Edition of Hardwood Handicappers, JVT reacts to the news. LaMarcus Aldridge's sudden retirement, its effect on Brooklyn's chances to win a title, before assessing the recent run of the Boston Celtics, won again last night in L.A. Could Beantown be back? Find out. Hardwood Handicappers. Plus an update on ESPN analyst Tim Bontemps' MVP straw, which has JVT waving the white flag on James Harden's MVP candidacy. We bring you back here, Lombardi Line. Jonathan Von Tobel, you can hear him tonight, of course, on My Guys in the Desert. Why don't we start there with the Brooklyn Nets, the Hornets in town. I think most books have it bet up to 12.5 here, JVT. Is that where you are?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now in terms of the screen and everything we're at right now. And I think there was an opener of about 13.5. So it's come down a little bit. And I think this is pretty fascinating for multiple reasons. You know, you guys know how much I love this Hornets team. But again, I should always say this. I love them in the prism of middle-tiered Eastern Conference team fighting for a play-in seed, right? Not so much in terms of the big picture. And remember, these two teams played, 2 weeks ago or so? And the Charlotte Hornets just got drilled against them. So I think this is going to be something where, again, you know, the market might be a little lukewarm on the Brooklyn Nets. I think they shouldn't be. Remember, they go on a 21-2 run at the end of that game against Philadelphia to make that much tighter than it really should have been. This is a high-level team, and I think from a matchup perspective, the Hornets are going to have a little bit of trouble here with the Brooklyn Nets. Now, this number's a little bit higher, right, than the number that they were laying against Charlotte the first time. Remember that number closed, I think, 3.5, like something ridiculously low. Now you're talking about 9 more points, so that has got me out of this. There was a solid value spot the first time these two teams played. This one seems a little inflated. I can understand the market kind of coming down a little bit off the 13.5.
But JVT, no Monk, right? No LaMelo Ball, no Gordon Hayward, right? And when they had those guys, they were 2-4 straight up in the last 6 games against the Nets and 3-6 against the spread. So, you know, they're probably how many guards do you think they're going to have available for tonight's game? I think this is going to be a hard one for the Hornets. I really do.
Yeah, no, Michael, and you're right, because look at the other guys. Brad Wanamaker's questionable, Devontae Graham is doubtful, and P.J. Washington might not play. So this is like, you're talking about, again, like a middle-tiered play-in type team in the Eastern Conference, down about 5 guys that play really big roles for them. So I think this is why you see this really high.
Okay, Clip 76ers, let's do this. We can't bury this. Clip 76ers tonight, good matchup. 3 right now with the 76ers lane at Jonathan.
So I think in a matchup where I know that these guys are going to be fully healthy, I think that the Clippers are the better team. I would bet on the Clippers in a series against the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, I've really come around about the candidacy of Los Angeles when they're healthy. But right now, we don't know if they're going to be. Kawhi Leonard is questionable to play. Marcus Morris is expected to play after missing some time, but still no Patrick Beverley, still no Serge Ibaka. And that kind of turns me off here. You know, I think Ivica Zubac would have some trouble with a Joel Embiid from a defensive standpoint. There's not many guys that they can throw at Joel Embiid when their roster is in flux like this. So a small lean towards Philadelphia. It's not something I played. These two teams did have a pretty good series early in the season. It was a lot of fun to watch. Again, the injuries take me off of the Clippers. I do think, and Michael can assess this, Philadelphia at times has a little bit of trouble around the perimeter with some good three-point shooting teams, and that's exactly what the Los Angeles Clippers are. But injuries have me scratching this one off because I just don't know the status of Kawhi.
I think the Sixers will play good tonight. I think this is one of those games where, you know, they're healthy. I mean, I don't know where Tobias is with his knee, but assume he's going to play. And they're trying to revenge the loss for Doc. You know, they got beat the last time out there, kind of hurt their road trip. I wouldn't be surprised if Philly plays well. Plus, I'm not sure Zubac can match Embiid. And when Philly's home, they're a different team. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a busy board, JVT. Is there one more standing out to you tonight, NBA-wise?
Yeah, I did lay the 2.5 with New Orleans guys against the Washington Wizards. I think from a matchup perspective, this is kind of a nightmare for Washington. This is a Pelicans offense that takes the most attempts within 4 feet of the basket than any other team in the NBA. They're going to get Lonzo Ball back today, it looks like, so they're at full strength again. Remember, you know, they went through that 1-4 stretch, but they were 4-1 in the five games prior, and the reason that they had played so poorly was because of injuries. So now that this team is starting to get healthy again, I think they start to pick it back up to where they have been. And just from a defensive standpoint, Washington 22nd in terms of rim defense this year. They just don't have anybody that's going to be able to keep New Orleans out of the restricted area. So I think it's just kind of a matchup issue that I think the Pelicans will be able to take advantage of. So I laid 2.5 here early with the New Orleans Pelicans.
You can get more guarantees tonight on My Guys in the Desert from that guy in the middle right there. Go Justin Fields. JVT, Hardwood Handicappers, of course. Make sure you check that out. The impact of LaMarcus A's retirement. Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate you,
thanks,
buddy.
JVT.
Hey, wait till you hear the hot take about Rashawn Slater versus Penny Sewell. Come on, tune in later today.
Oh, no chance on that. No, I'm not listening to that.
I think
no
he
chance
might have
Sewell goes before Slater, right? Hey, we're in agreement, Michael.
Oh, he's got Slater before Sewell, Michael. Your thoughts?
No.
Okay. Well put. Okay, you can hear that on My Guys coming up later. Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate it. You've defeated Michael. It's official. Josh Applebaum next here. Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Okay, with the spring sports betting action, you need VSiN and the experts here to stay ahead of the game. The best place to start is simple. Just go to VSiN.com, where we're covering baseball, NHL, NBA playoff races, the NFL draft, and more. While you're there, get all the latest Vegas odds. Listen, it's your one-stop shop. And then when you sign up right now, VSiN.com/subscribe for free, you get the emails with the free bets. VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we welcome you back. It is the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi in Jersey, presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. It's getting busier. I noticed the busyness of the casino, Michael, because they're giving tours. More and more tours are going by with new people coming in to bet cash.
There you go.
That's a good
thing.
There you go. Hey, look, it's the Hazmat homie. He just dropped his podcast an hour and a half ago, Market Insights. Josh Applebaum, author, Renaissance man, raconteur. What's up, Hazmat homie?
Patrick, Michael, great to be with you. I'm having a good day. It's a blizzard in Boston, so not great on a quote-unquote spring day. But
it's snowing?
Of course. Like, it's a blizzard.
Oh, you guys live in the worst place in America. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Coach Belichick's birthday, and it's snowing. I mean, how dare them?
Well, I'm sure he's in a good mood regardless. He's always chipper. Wait, it's literally like it's 70. No offense, but it's like 77 degrees here and perfect, Josh.
No, it's snowing here. It's snowing up there. My grandkids sent pictures. I got it already. Yeah.
Wow. Go ahead.
They were messing around in the. They had the little pool out the other day, and now it's snowing.
The world's coming to
Michael,
an end.
I think your grandkids might make a snowman today. It's a blizzard here. I'm feeling good, guys. I got my second COVID shot this morning. I got a new headset. I'm going wireless.
Yeah, you look good.
Yeah. I'm feeling good today.
Yeah, you know who you look like? Paula Abdul when she used to wear the little thing. But hey, listen, we're going cross gender. And also something I didn't know about Josh yesterday, Michael, was revealed to me. He was sweating out a Red Sox bet, but he was literally sweating it because he puts the treadmill right in front of the TV and he goes to town. Ain't that true, Hazmat homie?
It's true. I try to take the sweat to a whole new level. Michael, I know you do this when you're sweating your baseball plays, but yeah, if you can I live in an apartment building, and if you can, you have to kind of create a spot to make an appointment to use the treadmill. But I get in there, I can get Ness in, I watch my socks, sweat my socks. So it's like, takes it to a whole new level. It's pretty cool.
You know, you're basically doing the things you need to do. You're using your time wisely. You're doing two things at once, and it works out for you.
Very efficient. Very efficient.
Effectively, yeah.
Now, big board today. Mr. Baseball's already given his place. We got plenty of time. We'll go through them. What are you looking at today, Josh? Just overview.
Yeah, so I think today, guys, I'll be honest with you, across all sports, I think it's a great betting day. We got a ton of baseball, ton of basketball, a little NHL as well. But really, to me, it's all about baseball and in the NBA. And I think the NBA, if we can start there, guys. Michael, please. This is right in your wheelhouse. One game that I was looking at, the Clippers and the 76ers. So, we know Michael's our 76ers whisperer. I'll throw it at you, Michael, see what you think. But I think in this spot here, respected money, and we'll talk about, you know, some guys questionable in this game. Obviously, Kawhi questionable. We don't know if he's going to play. Also, Tobias Harris. So you got to monitor that like we do every day with the NBA. But, Michael, I'm looking at the 76ers as a money line play here. You look at the Clippers, 3 seed out west. They've won 7 straight. Philly's won 3 straight. Two of the best teams. To me, this is the best game in the NBA tonight. What I like about this one, guys, public is all over the Clippers saying, how do you not take the Clippers getting a few points? It just seems like a great team. The smart play would be grab the points. They may even win outright. But I like about this one, Michael, Philly actually opened around -2, -2.5. Even though the public is all over the Clippers, the line is up to 3. So I don't know if that has to do with Kawhi being out or maybe Harris in, Kawhi out, something like that. But it looks like early money leaning 76ers, and this would match one of my favorite systems. It's the short favorite with the line move. So if you're -5 or less, you see the line move at least a half point in your direction. Those teams are 70-51 ATS this year, 58%. Michael, you also know this. Sixers at home, 21-5, the second best home record in the NBA. Only the Jazz are better, 25-3. And then also the Sixers, I dug this one up. As a short favorite, Michael, -5 or less, the Sixers are 14-4 against the spread, almost 80% covering this number. So me, I like to go money line in these spots just on the off chance. You know, Sixers win by 2, win by 1. I want to cash my play. And Patrick, Doncic the other night with the Mavs, that was a situation where money lining that favorite instead of laying the points got you a win. But Michael, I know, you know, Kawhi and Tobias Harris are questionable. What do you think of this spot? Do you like your Sixers at home, money line or spread against the Clips?
You know, I felt like on Wednesday night against the Nets, they had the big lead. They had to put their starters back in. The Nets weren't playing anybody. So I felt like that was a hollow win, if you will. And I think there's a sense of the last time they played the Clippers, it was a high-scoring affair. I think it ended up at 234. I think there's something to be said that the Sixers want to play good against Doc's former team. And I would be surprised if they didn't play good tonight. I think that they will. I think they recognize that these are the kind of games that the Sixers embrace the challenge. I think they'll come prepared. You know, they usually play to the level of competition. So I like the Sixers tonight. I think they'll play well. I'd be surprised if they didn't eke out a win. I think the Clippers are indifferent. You know, they got 7 wins in a row. I don't think they're going to really get down and dirty to win the thing. So I think unless they shoot really poorly in Philadelphia, I think Philly will play well tonight.
I would say coolly confident, bordering on cocky with Michael Lombardi and his 76ers tonight, because he has been since the jump. He said, you know what? I feel a good performance from the 76ers tonight coming up.
Well, I just think they play to their level of comp. I think the one thing they do is they play, and this is a national televised game. It'll be, I think it's on ESPN. It's part of a doubleheader, right? And I think that the big fella, the Sixers, in spite of that win, didn't play well the other night against Brooklyn. You know, they let Kyrie have 37. There's a lot of things that Doc needed to clean up in the game. I just have a feeling they'll play better in this game. They played the Clippers. I like the over at 220.5. I think that's a – I mean, they scored 234 the last time they played. I think both teams can score. I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, if Kawhi plays. You know, the last time they played, Kawhi played, George played – But then a lot of Embiid didn't play, and the Sixers were kind of beat up at that game. Now it's kind of flipped a little bit.
What do you think on that total 220.5 there, Josh? Clip 76ers.
I'm with Michael. I'd also lean over here. You know, the one thing I look at, not only just, you know, the total did rise a little bit. Some are 220 up to 220.5. But also one thing I like with totals, guys, if you like an over, is a non-conference matchup. Because, again, the lack of familiarity between two teams that don't play each other a lot in different conferences, sometimes that can benefit the offense because defensively you don't know how to match up as well. And if you look at non-conference overs when both teams have had at least 2 days off or 2 days between their games, it's not a back-to-back. This year, it's 82-74. It's almost 54%. So, Michael, I'm with you. I think you might have a high-scoring affair. And let's go Sixers. I'm on your Sixers, Michael.
There we go.
Well, flip them over and butter them up on the other side. Look at you starting kissing my guy's booty over here. Well, when you come back, okay, take it. Are you gonna do the Al Davis voice? You almost went there.
No, I didn't go there. I'm done voices today. This is not there. The impressionist show. Yeah.
We're working with Richard Little all of a sudden.
Yeah.
When we come, that's an old reference. My gosh, I'm getting old. When we come back, we've got to reiterate Michael's baseball plays, the hazmat plays from Josh Applebaum next here at Lombardi Line. GM welcomes you to Showtime with a chance to win $100 for a $1 wager. Clippers 76ers tonight. We were just talking about the game. If you use the bonus code VEASAN100, bet a dollar. If either hits a three-pointer, you're going to win $100. It's paid for and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years or older. Got to be located in Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia only. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa and Tennessee. Call or text Redline 800-889-9789. In Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Josh has got a new headset, and that's exciting because we've got something for you. If we can go ahead and throw it up there. It appears there's Josh on Paula Abdul's body. My goodness gracious.
There we go.
The graphic department downstairs is grinding today, and that is
straight
up, Karina.
Straight up.
Who did
straight
that?
Up. That's,
straight
let's
up.
Go straight
now
up.
Tell me. Do you really want
it? Straight up, man. Let's do it.
Hey,
let's
that was,
it.
Hey that, do you remember the name of the cat? Scat Cat. I was a big Paula Abdul fan. You understand what I'm saying, Michael?
Yeah, I can get you. I can see how you like. I mean, Demi Lovato. Now I'm starting to get a trend here. Demi Lovato, Paul
Kubo.
Abdul. I'm getting. You know, it's what do they say in scouting? You have to be able to profile what you're looking for. I'm getting a profile on Patrick Maher. There's no doubt.
Well, just go to Columbia. Yeah. You'll find them. Josh, we welcome you back. Josh, we got a hazmat play to start off here.
Yeah, we got a bunch. And by the way, I'm all after seeing that image. I think I'm, you know, you can put me to bed. That I'm,
make
I'll
handsome,
never recover from that.
Yeah, you make a handsome
guys.
Pop star. All right, what do you got?
Yeah,
for
I got a couple for you. So kind of this theme of money line in the NBA here. And again, I'm a kind of guy who likes the money line, these short favorites. And again, you can call them hazmat, but I think some couple sharp spots. Let me throw another one at you, Michael. Looking at the Orlando Magic in Toronto tonight. Now this one is interesting because you have two kind of bad teams, Orlando. 1-7 their last eight. They're 18-37. Toronto, a team that has really struggled this year, 22-34, 4-4 their last eight. What makes this ugly or hazmat, and I think the play here, based on the line movement and some systems I looked at, is money lining the Raptors at home. You know, the Raptors open -2 at home against Orlando. They're now up to -2.5. What's gross about it, though, is that you have a lot of guys out here for the Raptors. So they're still missing Pascal Siakam, Lowry, Bembry, Gary Trent Jr., who they acquired, but they are going to get back Michael Fred VanVleet. He's missed the last six games, hip injury. He also was suspended for a game. But if you remember, VanVleet went off against the Magic about a couple months ago. He dropped 54 points here. You do see this line move toward the Raptors here. These short favorites with a line move five or less with a line in their moving in their favor. Again, 70-51 ATS, 58%. And the Magic have the fourth worst road record in the NBA, 8-18. So, Michael, even though all these guys are out, do you think they have enough with VanVleet to beat the Magic here at home?
Well, you know, the only thing I would say is looking at the stat today, when the Magic face teams that are in the top 10 category defensively, they have scored with this cast of characters they have now, 103, 91, and 87. They don't score. So I think you're right. I think it does favor the Raptors here. And I think that if they can, you know, if the Raptors can do any scoring with a very limited group of players available to them, I think they'll cover.
Well done. There it is. That's the first hazmat. No, I didn't see the graphic, which I got to see.
That's really a hazmat. I mean, you really have to be almost a set. That's not being courageous.
There it is.
It's not being courageous taking Toronto. That's desperation. That's just it's hard. It's disgusting.
As always.
Oh, my God.
Well, I think we might even get more gross here. Are we going Pelicans for the second play?
We're going Pelicans, baby.
Oh,
I know Michael's
gross.
Excited about this one. Yeah, this is a 7 o'clock game. Pelicans are on the road at the Wizards here. What's gross about this one to me, guys, is I think you look at, you know, two teams with a below 500 record, and the Wizards are playing well. The Wizards, 4-1 their last five. They're the 12 seed. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but you look at out west, New Orleans, the 11 seed here, but they're 3-1 their last four. What's gross about this one to me is it's always tough laying points with a road favorite in the NBA, especially against a team that is playing well recently, which the Wizards have. But New Orleans, guys, they're taking in some money. They open around some shops for -1, -1.5 around there. They're all the way up to -3. So this would be another situation, you know, money line -150 that may be more enticing here. But this is also one caveat. It's the Wizards' first game back after a long road trip. And, Michael, sometimes teams do struggle their first game back. You know, you're back with a family. You have family obligations. You're finally in your own bed. Sometimes it takes a little bit to get up for those games, first game back off a long trip. You also get a nugget here, guys. Favorites in the NBA, it's about 50-50. You started dogs doing well. Favorites have done better around the last month. But non-conference favorites, the lack of familiarity, not knowing a lot of matchups here, it favors the quote-unquote better team, the favored team. So favorites in a non-conference game, they're 196 and 166 ATS this year, 54%. And if you're on the road, they get even better, 92 and 68, 58%. So the Pelicans are getting healthier, guys. You know, Lonzo Ball's back, Ingram, Zion. But Michael, this is a hazmat play. It's gross. You may like the Warriors plus the points, but what do you think about the Pelicans in this spot?
You know, Washington's won four of the last five games and haven't lost at home to the Pelicans since 2011. So, I mean, and the Wizards are shooting 51% from the field in their last five wins, and they're playing against one of the worst defensive teams. So, I mean, you know, if you like it, Josh, I'm all for you. I'll applaud you. I wouldn't be near this game in a million miles. I think it's disgusting, but feel free to go ahead. I mean, make it. Go ahead. Don't include me in this misery, please.
Take that data and stick it in your hazmat, Applebaum.
Yeah.
Well, just so
I mean,
you,
I mean, can I add more? New Orleans is 3-6 in their last nine games against the spread.
Oh.
They've lost seven straight on the road, and Washington is 1-6 against the spread in the last seven games against Eastern opponents. So, I mean, you decide what you want to do.
The man has a family, Michael. Leave him alone.
I'm
the
sorry.
Abuse.
You know, I'm just trying to give out information. I'm just trying to help, you know.
Hey,
you study
Michael.
This stuff. And yes.
Let me ask you about the total, Michael, because this is another really high total. Two teams that do get up and down the court a lot.
Well,
yeah, and it did rise, Michael, 241 up to 242. I see a 242.5 out there. Have some systems, these high totals, 230 or more, with the line rising at least a half point. You're around 54% non-conference over. So what? I guess if you had to support one of my plays here, either the over or the Pelicans, do you like the over a little bit better?
I probably like the over, and I love this new terminology, Patrick. Write this down. You know, Danielle did a great TikTok. I saw it on Instagram where she was going through the draft with terminology. Have you seen that one, Patrick? Really?
I mean, I'm gonna
she
look
does
it up
those
right now.
She does those as well as anybody. She's great at it. And so, but anyway, you know, a new terminology for not being able to play defense is both these teams get up and down the court really quick. That's like a new terminology. Like, that means we stink on defense. We get up and down the court really quick because the ball's going through the net, right?
We
get up and down the court really quick. You know, it's like, you know, you got to watch that. It's all the terminology.
I love it.
You know, and she makes these, you know, she does her eye looks with it. It's very, very entertaining.
Looking,
you know,
for it. Yeah, Danielle does a great job with those. I will say that did open one and bet all the way up to three with the Pelicans, which is surprising.
Steam.
That is a, you know, if Applebaum's
playing. We found steam on a snowy day. Isn't that impressive, huh?
Yeah, we found love in a lonely place and found steam on a lonely day.
Yeah. What's it all about, Alfie?
Too.
We got to get there. Yes.
Straight up. Now tell me. Okay, baseball. Well, first off,
we're going to.
Well, can I Michael,
oh,
and Patrick,
please, Josh, yes.
Can I throw one more NBA at you?
Oh, sure, Josh. It's your world. We're just living in it.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're trying to jam it. I really like the board today, guys, and I want my two best friends here to kind of give me some more confidence around this.
You know,
play
can
me.
You just liking the NBA board? We that would be a whole discussion. But go ahead. How do you like this
psycho
board ever? Yeah, I mean seriously. Well, you don't know who's playing. Like, you don't know whether whatever. You know, is Kyrie okay? Is he going to be at the game tonight? Will he be okay, or does he need another day off? You think?
He's got a birthday party. It's his great aunt, I think, who's getting
it. Oh, lollipop, too.
Yeah, so he may not be in. I'm not sure. But, Michael, I know you're a Damian Lillard fan. What do you think of the Blazers on the road at the Spurs here? This is another carbon copy of this move. This short favorite becomes more of a favorite, a system that's done well in the NBA here. But I think you might buy low on the Blazers. They've lost two straight. They're 1-4 of their last five. You look at the Spurs, though. They're struggling, too, 3-7 in their last 10. Portland, opener on -1.5. They're up to -2.5. So a little bit of movement in their favor. They do have a one-day rest advantage. And then also, here's the key, guys. Portland, this is weird. I had to double-check this. I didn't even know if it was right, but it is apparently right. Portland's pretty good on the road, 15-11. The Spurs are 12-17 at home. So it's kind of this weird thing where Spurs play well on the road but not home versus the opposite with the Blazers. So, Michael, how about that money line play, -135 with Dame Lillard?
I like this is your best play of the day. This is my favorite play of the day. You know, because I think the Spurs are not a good defensive team, and the Trailblazers should really make them pay. And over the last 10 games, even in spite of having some struggles, the Trailblazers are eighth overall offensively in the NBA.
Very good. Very well done. Oh. You guys agreed on something there. And another thing that, Josh, you probably don't know, of course, Michael and Damian Lillard are close. One's Dame Dalla, but Michael's friends call him Mike Dalla. Did you know that his nickname on the beach is Dalla? Now, and he's a rapper, too. People don't know that about Michael Lombardi. You got a quick baseball play for us? Mr. Baseball will judge your play.
Yeah, quick baseball play, and then we'll throw it to the judges here. Cincinnati Reds, guys. Battle of Ohio here. Cleveland's going to Cincy. This game opened at kind of a pick'em, -105 both sides. But we've seen the Reds move all the way, -105 up to -117. So you got a line moving towards Cincinnati here. Here's a little angle that I found. A team that is rested, had a day off like the Reds versus a team on a back-to-back, which would be Cleveland, who played yesterday. These rested teams in this red spot, 6-2 this year, about 62% over the last decade. And this is all about the offense, Michael. I know you woke up early to look at these splits. Reds are fifth in Major League Baseball in hitting, .264. Cleveland, second worst in baseball, hitting .198. So, Michael, you want to board the Red Legs train with me tonight?
I like Allen. I think Allen will take the hill for Cleveland. I think he's the last 10 innings, he's only given up 3 runs. And I think underneath it, I think Allen has done some good things. His ERA is 2.70, 2.21. So, you know, I like that. I think the Reds offense will make it a little bit harder for Allen today, but I still like it.
A very special shout out. Our friend Sophie, JJ's daughter, celebrating her 13th birthday today. Happy birthday. To the lovely and talented Sophie.
Oh, how adorable. There you go.
What a cutie. Good job, Sophie.
Happy birthday, Sophie.
I'm glad you have girls, JJ. I'm glad that. That's awesome.
Have a great birthday, Sophie. Enjoy it. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Lombardi Line. That's Michael Lombardi, Josh Applebaum. Season win totals, NFL, tomorrow.